Okay, in studio now I have Cormac Moore, and he's a Dublin City Council's historian in residence for the North Central area, and he's on the ground in the North Central area. He's got a lot of lectures coming up. What I'm going to do is let Cormac tell us all about that. Tell us about the appointment for us, Cormac.
Yeah, Dublin City Council, just on the back of the huge interest in the, you know, the rising last year from the community in Dublin, want to keep the momentum going and, you know, continue on spreading history and making history accessible to people from Dublin, not just from the rising but after the rising. Mm-hmm. In other words, there's going to be a whole there is a whole decade right up to 2023 of the decade of commemorations, and this is a continuation of mm-hmm. that. So the council appointed 6 historians in residence, and my area of responsibility is Dublin North Central.
Yeah, because a lot of people just have a compact view of exactly what happened around that time, and they sort of have that. And then from last year, the interest has grown.
Absolutely.
Because of the intricacies of what happened to it as well in the areas. And then on the periphery of Dublin, it wasn't just in Dublin, it was on the periphery. So we'll be going through all that. But you're going to be giving a lot of talks in a lot of the local libraries. So give us an overview of what you would be doing there and the libraries you'll be walking in.
Yeah, so starting from Monday week, the 12th of June, I'll be giving a 3-part lecture series from after the rising right up to the end of the Civil War. So on Monday the 12th, it'll be Raheny, and then the Tuesday the 13th, it'll be Coolock Library, the 14th will be Merino Library, and the 15th will be Donnymead Library. And I'll be continuing in each of those libraries every Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday for 3 weeks. So the first lecture will be on probably the area that's least well known in the public, is between the Rising and the War of Independence, you know, 1917, 1918. A lot of people think that, you know, it was a very quiet period, but it wasn't. You know, it was kind of a lot of underground activity was happening, and it did see the rise of Sinn Féin, which led to their spectacular success in the general election of 1918, which mm-hmm. absolutely annihilated the Irish Parliamentary Party, the Home Rule Party. And then the second talk will be, you know, going through the War of Independence, right up through the treaty negotiations, up to the signing of the treaty in December 1921. And the third lecture series will be on the reaction to the treaty, where, you know, deep divides came out in the open, and obviously led to the Civil War, right up to the end of the Civil mm-hmm. War.
As I was saying there earlier on, a compact view people have of the 1916, and sometimes when you mention politics, people's eyes usually glaze over. But I think that has changed as well because of recent events over the past 20 years, maybe 30, that people have really, in more recent years as well, and especially young people, are taking much more interest in politics. So I imagine the period after the rising would be very interesting politically wise.
Yeah, well, not just obviously politically, because there was some violence, in 1917, 1918, not to the scale mm-hmm. from 1919 onwards. But politics and Sinn Féin actually kind of stole the Home Rule Party's clothing in many respects. They never did politics before; they had no experience of politics, but they actually were quite good at it. And that's what happened. They actually formed a really remarkable electoral machine. And actually that was one reason why they were so spectacularly successful in 1918 and in by-elections mm-hmm. in 1917.
Okay, we'll just to let our listeners know, we'll be keeping you informed of all the lectures that's happening in the libraries, and Cormac is gladly coming in and talking to us over the next few weeks as well about where they are, what it's going to be about on a particular subject, and at 6:30 each evening in each particular library. But what's the duration of the talk itself?
Yeah, so I'll talk for about 40 minutes or so, and then it'll be open to the floor. So probably about questions for about 20 minutes. So you're talking about from 6:30 about 7:30 each night.
Mm-hmm. Have you done any of these before?
Yeah, well, like my background is a lot in sports history, so I would have spoken a lot of sports history conferences, but also some general history conferences as well. So I'm quite used to giving talks and lectures.
Is there any link, or not link, but was there any cohesion between politics and sport?
Absolutely, yeah. Well, I think obviously the GAA is considered itself as the, you know, a guardian of nationalism and the Irish Ireland and culture. It probably wasn't as to the vanguard as the likes of Tinks was, or to proclaim it was, mm-hmm. but there were a huge amount of members of the GAA who were actively involved in the revolutionary period. But there were many other sporting bodies and sports people, like soccer players like Oscar Traynor and Todd Andrews, who were involved in the revolutionary period. There was a huge involvement between sport and politics.
And was there any way that one affected the other?
What do you mean one affects the other?
Sport affected politics or vice versa?
Well, because of all of the disruption happening, sport was totally affected by politics. You know, a lot of sporting occasions couldn't happen. You know, there was no trains, excursion trains allowed during the war period. So that affected numbers, it affected the ability to hold games. So there was a huge impact between sport and politics.
Okay, did any sports come out of it? You know, any new sports come out of it in the periods that we're going to be talking about?
Well, no, I think there's new kind of formations and new governing aspects to sports, but no real new sport. Like, the sports that we know pretty much came into being, they became codified, you know, from the 19th century onwards, most of them would have.
Okay, well, as you said, most people don't know very little about Ireland in the year after it, so yeah, that's one of the focuses on it. And the other one is what was the War of Independence? And I think a lot of people as well, they'd know more about the American War of Independence than they would about the Irish one. Would that be a true statement?
I'm sure some would know more about the American War of Independence than the Irish one. I think a fair few people, we know a lot about a treaty, you know, that's that's ingrained in our memories, you know, what happened with the treaty negotiations. But the actual skirmishes and the violence that happened, and particularly like from 1919, the first shots, you could say official shots of the War of Independence, were fired in the day that the first doll sat, in 21st of January 1919, there was two RIC men killed by the Irish volunteers in Tipperary. But from 1990 to about summer of 1920, there weren't that many deaths. You know, there wasn't a few skirmishes, isolated murders here and there. But it was the summer of 1920 to the summer of 1921 where the real kind of brutal violence, you know, when the Black and Tans and auxiliaries were brought in by the British, and the IRA and you know, the Irish Volunteers upped their campaign against the British. There was a lot of big incidents we know about. We all know about Bloody Sunday, Croke Park. You know, we know about the Customs House being burning. But there's other events that we'll be talking about as well.
Okay, and then the third lecture is all about the Civil War. Again, I think a lot of people will have scant information on that as well. Little things they might have heard, but as again another compact view, I could be undermining everybody in the country today and get a slap when I walk out here. I don't know how true that is.
I think what was showed last year, a lot of people do know about the Irish history, you know, and there's such an interest and uptake in 1916 Rising. So I think people have a very good general history of our of Irish history. Civil War, obviously we have to talk about what happened once the treaty was signed in December 1921. That split, you know, the votes that took the debates that took place in the Dáil, and the votes that took place, and then the kind of where the military, the Irish Republican military, kind of took control over the civilian, the political element of the Republican wing, which led to the Civil War in June 22, you know, when the four courts were taken over, and then ultimately attacked by the provisional government. So I'll be talking about those. And there's one thing I want to emphasise as well, which is of particular interest to myself in all of these talks, is partition. You know, it's often kind of swept aside, kind of you've got the south and you've got the north, but partition is central to all of what happened, and it probably is the biggest legacy issue from all of the decade of commemorations, you know, that country did, the island did become partitioned. So I do want to, you know, bring that into the talks as well.
Of course, like Brexit puts more of an emphasis on partition now than
absolutely,
it ever did
yeah.
before.
No question about that.
And we know the period of time with the 1916, but the Civil War, how long did that go on for?
Well, because they officially, they actually never surrendered, you know, they dumped their arms in kind of May 1923, and they said they were going to stop violence for the time being. But essentially, it lasted for about a year, you know. And it kind of followed the same pattern as the War of Independence. The real fighting didn't start until kind of halfway through the so-called Civil War, you know. It's only after Collins died. Collins was restrained in some ways and was hesitant to really go after the Republicans because he still wanted to get an agreement and to be, you know, have reconciliation. Once he died, though, you know, the attacks by the Republicans and the actual the approach taken by the provision government was quite severe. So it got really nasty from about, you know, September up until mid 1923.
Now, would it be true to say with Collins, as you say in folklore, that he instigated guerrilla warfare to an extent format that had carried on?
Yeah, he was probably the pivotal character in terms of the War of Independence, you know, in terms of, like, he wasn't a military man himself as such. He wasn't the only fighting he really saw was in 1916. He did a lot more with his pen than with his gun. But he was a brilliant organiser, and he was so efficient. That's why his brilliance was his efficiency and his organisation skills. And he did lead the kind of the army in many respects, and made it a very efficient force.
Mm-hmm. And of course, himself and De Valera became sort of, there was an odium there between the two of them that carried on right through as well. That'll be part of the lecture as well, will it?
Yeah, of course. But before that, Griffith and Collins didn't like each other. You know, it was only during the treaty that they you know, started to get on a lot better. And then Griffith actually felt that Collins wasn't doing enough to stop the Republicans. You know, kind of take control of different buildings in different areas. But yeah, and look, De Valera, yeah, of course, there was animosity, but I think De Valera respected Collins' efficiency. And Collins, you know, obviously before the treaty was signed, Collins respected Dev as the leader. And he respected his judgment.
Mm-hmm. Okay, the lecture's taking place, as we say, we're going to be talking to yourself, and they won't be starting. When they're starting in June 12th,
yes, to Monday 19, the 12th, 26th. The 12th, yeah. So okay, a busy June for me.
Yes, yes, indeed. Do people have to book for this? Because, you know, depending on the first one's in Raheny Library, that's fairly big, but I imagine you're going to get a lot of interest in this. So should people look?
Yeah, you recommend a book now. It is free, they're all free to talk, yes, but you recommend a book to make sure that there are seats available. And look at the Dublin City website. You know, they're all and all the various different libraries, and all the contact details are there.
Yeah, because I went to something like this earlier in the year down in the Coolock Library. It was a different format, but it was mixed up.
A big library, you know, there's just loads of space.
But that was big.
Library,
but there's still a lot of people standing, so. Yeah. And that can happen there as well, but you won't be turned away. But just to give you an idea of the numbers as well, I suppose it'd be good to know.
Yeah, absolutely. But for people's sake, though, you know, you are always better off booking.
Okay, you're going to be coming in, Cormac, and talking to us, but is there a website that people can look up for all the details so they don't have to write it down now?
Yeah, dublincity.ie, all of the list of the talks, the times, and the areas that we covered are on that website.
Okay, I'm looking forward to being educated in history over the next month or two. Thank you very much, Cormac.
Thank you, Noel.
And that's Cormac Moore, Dublin City Council's historian in residence for the North Central area. It's been a great pleasure talking to you. Is that anything else you want to get out there, we'll have you here before you come in again?
No, I'm just looking forward to meeting people, and I'm very interested in other people's viewpoints as well, and what the comments they have on the whole decade of commemoration. So I'm hoping that the talks will be very engaging.
Yeah, because I often think about it. I think when we were talking last week, I spent a lot of my youth in Pearse Street Library and reading up a lot of stuff and listening to a lot of stuff. And then you'd hear stuff, obviously, in school. But a lot of that has gone with the boy. And then a lot of it becomes, I don't know, folklore. And then some of the movies that sort of they've made, very good, but they're a bit skewed as well with history.
Movies are limited in terms of how historically accurate it can be, in many respects. You know, so obviously when you think of the decade of commemoration, which you can Michael Collins movie, there definitely are a few
entertaining
elements to that, but didn't really happen at all.
Yeah, so, okay.
Actually, just you mentioned about the Dublin Libraries, though. Like, there are actually great digital images now available from the Dublin City Libraries, and I'm actually using and showing a lot of those at the lecture series. But they're well worth people having a look at the new digital. It's only recently released online, a digital depository from the Dublin City Council. There are some fantastic images there from that whole decade of commemorations.
Okay, and I'm hoping we'll get down there and record some of them as well. I think we are, actually, and then we'll be podcasting those as well. Okay, Cormac, thank you very much for talking to us.
Thank you, Noel.
Thank you.